مرحبا, شالوم, and welcome to another episode by the Ropescast, the only alternative view of the Middle East.
And today we're discussing the Arab society in Israel, Ksenia, after a very difficult weekend.
Well, Ibrahim, we were supposed to discuss with our guests today the questions of integration of the Arab society in Israel, and also the possibility of the Arabs in Israel serving as a, well, I don't like to use the word bridge, because I know that it annoys many people. People are telling me we are not a bridge, we are human beings. But yes, as a liaison, perhaps, to the Arab Middle East. We are in the midst of this fascinating process of Abraham Accords. And although I do see the growing number of Israeli Arab citizens, by the way, Ibrahim, do you prefer to use the term Arab citizens of Israel or Palestinian Arabs in Israel? What do you think?
I think for the sake of this particular conversation, yes, we should be talking about the Arab society, because it includes other elements of the community that doesn't see itself as Palestinian, like some with the Druze community, the majority.
Absolutely.
Some of the Christians. So we'll talk about the Arab society for this.
So
discussion.
I do see that, more entrepreneurs are going to the Gulf and Morocco. And certainly there are many who use the opportunity to travel to the beautiful Dubai, Abu Dhabi, Rabat, Manama, and the other cities. But at the same time, we see that they're also missing. It's the missing part. It's the missing link in this equation. I would personally, would want to see someday, an Arab ambassador who is coming from the ambassador of Israel, who is coming from the Arab society to represent us in an Arab country. Wouldn't it be natural?
First of all, I completely agree with not using the word bridge. I like to use this as the word key. We're the key to the Middle East, and I think we're also the key to the conflict, and the fact that we're the majority of our community is also Palestinian and Israeli citizens. We can be the ones who can understand both sides and bring both sides to the table, and hopefully that will be our role in the future. But unfortunately, today we're stuck in a survival mode, and particularly with the murders that we saw over the last weekend that will make a little bit of a shift of the focus of our conversation today. But if we look at our integration, this is exactly the problem, like you say. I, for one, looked at the embassies in UAE wanting to maybe apply right when the embassy was established.
The Israeli embassy.
The Israeli embassy. Because I wanted the Arab voice to be there. I thought I can bring to be a
value. Ibrahim, just for the sake of our listeners, you're originally coming from Nazareth,
correct,
right?
Yes.
But you live today in the Jewish city, yes, in Herzliya. Correct. Yes.
Today I'm in a mixed city. I mean, it's hard to stay in the north, and it's hard to stay away from the center where all the business.
Well,
is.
This is something that many young Israelis do. They travel and they move from south and from the north to the center for job opportunities. But again, today you are setting an example also, because you are living in the city that is not very much can categorized as
not
a mixed
mix.
City.
No, yes, no, I'm one of the only Arabs, I think. A lot of people are always surprised that I even live there, and they talk to you with a tone of surprise. And I think these are the things that should be erased before we move forward. When I get the question of Ibrahim, in this city, really? Mm-hmm. As in that way of surprise.
Yeah.
And if we don't pass this, if we don't have an Arab naturally in an embassy in UAE, if we don't have our community active in Israeli politics and in decision making, how can we make a difference in the lives today and in our future as a whole?
Well, we would love to dwell on these very important issues, but unfortunately, the count of bodies in the Arab sector in Israel and the Arab society in Israel is growing by the minute. Not a day goes by without another victim. And we see the war of the criminal families, but we also see conflicts within private citizens who do not belong to these crime clans. And we mostly see the Israeli government and its head, Benjamin Netanyahu, helpless in facing this horrific crisis. We see the numbers growing from the last year, and we already passed, unfortunately, the horrific 100 victims from the beginning of the year. We are still only in June right now.
I remember only in 2018, if I'm not mistaken, we only passed the 100 threshold. And we talked years before that we're going to be by the end of the year. And we were talking, we're at the 90s, we might reach 100. And then 100 became normal. And now 100 is half a year. And this is staggering numbers.
This is so very painful and horrible. And this is a long-term problem, we have to admit it. It's not something that was, born yesterday, but at the same time, we see clear deterioration. So, Ibrahim, today we have a special guest who will help us to understand what is going in the Arab society in Israel, what is expected from the government and what is not happening right now, and also what is the key to for the solution to getting out of this crisis and to improving the sense of security of any person, especially a person in the Arab sector, that she and he can live their lives and not be afraid from the occasional shooting, intimidation, protection demands, rocket, and so on.
I think it's it's going to answer a lot of questions to us and to our audience. So without further ado, Ksenia, I'll give you the floor to introduce our guest speaker for today.
So our very special guest for today is Dr. Thabet Abu Ras, as a co-CEO of Abraham Initiatives. Abu Ras has authored many publications and media articles on Israel's Arab-Jewish relations. Prior to this role, he served as Adala's board of directors from 2006 to 2008, and in 2010 became the director of its Negev office. He is a member of the board of directors of several environmental and Jewish Arab educational organizations, and has also been a co-chair of the board of the Hand in Hand Schools in Israel. Thabet obtained a PhD in the field of geography and regional development from the University of Arizona. He is a political geographer and has taught many courses at Ben-Gurion University and Sapir College on ethnic relations, land planning, and regional development. And Ibrahim, I know Thabet for many years. I can tell you that there is no other person in Israel who is no more knowledgeable on the issues of inter-Arab-Jewish relations in Israel and their challenges of the Arab society. Welcome, and ahlan usahlan, doctor.
Hello, thank you for the opportunity.
Sharafna, thank you so much. It's our pleasure to host you here on our podcast. And I think after the weekend that we've had in the Arab society, the bloody weekend that we had, initially we were considering to discuss the Arab society in general, our regional role, but looking at the previous weekend, we have to start with understanding what's going on with the Arab society currently today in Israel. What happened last weekend, the crime rate that we have, and we would love to hear your input on why we are in the situation we are today. What are the causes and what are the reasons why the Arab society is at the position that it's in today?
Yeah. Thank you. I can say the escalation last week, I guess, they didn't come as a surprise. We believe that the last government is doing nothing to try to combat crime and violence within the Arab community. But let's go even a little bit to the past and tell you there are many deep causes for the crime and violence in the Arab community. This includes, the gaps between Arab and Jewish citizens. Discrimination is a major policy between Arabs and Jews here in Israel, and we are suffering in discrimination in all levels, in all realms of society, and providing services, including policing, fair and equal policing. We feel sometimes that Arab towns are ex-territorial within the state of Israel in terms of all of the issue of patrolling police or law and order and so forth. But if I'm talking about deep causes, I will mention here that the shortage of land and the planning and the crisis in housing, it's one of the major causes of the rivalries, I would say the conflicts among people. People in my community are competing over very limited resources, especially of land. This is one thing. And the other, another cause, I will say, the fact that almost 40% of our kids, young people in the age, between the age of 18 to 24, are neither working nor attending higher education. institutions. So those people, tens of thousands, around 40,000 of kids in this age, they are sitting at home or in the coffee shops, nargila shops.
If you allow me, Thabet, we know that the situation with the violence and crime in their community, there is a deterioration. There is no way to go around it. You know, we look at from 2000 until this day, you know, we have more violent crime. We have more families, criminal families that have their own armies, actually, the militias. But what specifically happened since November 1st? Because we see spike in violence, which is unprecedented, nothing like ever before. I mean, you know, the thing with resources and housing, these are painful long-term problems. But yes, what specifically happens starting from November 1st, 2022, since after the Israeli elections?
What happened is actually we have a new minister of public security, internal security, that the first step that he did, changing the name of his ministry to actually National Security, Minister of National Security. This man, Ben Gvir, is a racist, is actually a terrorist, and spreading a hatred speech. And he is not ignoring the fact that he's a racist person. And this man actually in charge of providing security and safety for our people, for the all Israeli people. And we see the escalation exactly in the last few months. I'll just to make a comparison. By today, since the inception of this government, actually the formation of this government, 6 months ago, we have already 102 people were killed, casualties, crime and violence. If I compare it with the number, the figure with last year for the same time, we have 35 people. It's almost tripled, okay? This man is really care about other things. We are the Arab resident, citizens, not in his top priority. His top priority is to destroy houses in his Jerusalem in the West Bank. This man is sending a lot of police forces to the territories to protect settlers and to destroy houses in Jerusalem. So if I compare what he's doing with that, what the last minister of public safety, I would say, public security, Omar Barleib, and his deputy, we saw a real change after 7 years of increasing in the number of casualties, of victims of crime and violence in the Arab community. We saw a drop last year. 2021, we have 126 people were killed. 222 under the last government, we had 116. It went down, but now it's went up again. So we don't trust this minister, and we are calling the resignation of this minister. But let's face it, this is not only him. This is the police. He's not doing anything right now. After last year, we saw the police is patrolling in our community. Not anymore. It's actually the responsibility of the whole government that's not doing anything.
Again. Do you see that basically these criminal, these crime organizations are seeing and looking at the political map of the country and looking at this new government and looking at this new minister and basically saying to themselves, this is a better time to strike, to increase our activities, since there is a minister here that will not focus on our affairs? Is that something that these criminal organizations are looking at? And yes. And the second half of my question is, how much do you put as part of the problem the economic situation that we are in, especially since the beginning of the protests here in Israel and the high inflation and basically a lot of people that we see in the Arab community in general in the past few years have been going to the black market? Do you see a rise in that number? Is that a direct effect on the increasing crime?
Yeah, I agree with you. I believe that the economic component of the crisis is really obvious. I would like to give to illustrate that, I would like to give a good example. Take the Negev area. There are over 300,000 Bedouins living in the Negev area. Can you imagine the whole Arab towns in the Negev, except Rahat, the city of Rahat, no financial services, no bank branches. So people are going to actually looking for changes, and to borrow money, going to the black market. But more than that, there is a vacuum. If the police is not here, okay, the government with slow down its activities within the Arab community, we witness a vacuum, and somebody is filling the vacuum. Who is filling the vacuum? Actually, the organized crime families, and actually, who is there is a problem of Hawa protection, and then those people are receiving this Hawa, and then they are firing in people, and they are the banks actually. They are giving loans to people, okay, and since the police is not there, so the people, they have problems, they refer to criminal organization to solve their problems. So they are the judges, they are the banks, they are the problem solvers. So it's a problem. We left without the state itself, without the state's institution. So economy is very important. I believe that it's the severe economic conditions within the Arab. Now in Israel, I think there is a slowdown in the economy, and we see that even more within the Arab community, within Arab town. So all in all, I say that one of the deep causes of the problem is the financial services, lack of bank services and finance services within the Arab community.
Dr. Thabet, I would like to ask you, you know, because you touched something very important, the economic achievements, integration in the Israeli society. And, for me, I'm living in a non-mixed city. I live in Modi'in. And I see in the, you know, last 10 years, this tendency that is making me very happy, because I see more integration. Yes, I see more Arab doctors. I see more Arab pharmacists, more Arab vendors in the stores, like never before. So in one hand, it means that you have more involvement in the economic life, perhaps more economic opportunities. I have an Arab clerk now in my bank who is extremely nice. And I know that she came from the north in order to enjoy from the, you know, job opportunities that exist in the center. So on one hand, we have this, trend for increased integration. On the other hand, you see underdevelopment and the lack of opportunities in their towns and problems with everything that has to do with construction and so on. How do you explain, you know, so how does these two trends live together?
Zania, you are touching very important issue. This is part of the development. I agree with you that Arabs are making a lot better than 10 years ago. I can just give you a figure. The integration in the health system is just great. 24% of the total doctors in Israel are Arabs. We are making up only 20%, but 24% of the the doctors in Israel are Arabs. 40% of the nurses are Arabs. 50%, half of the pharmacists are Arabs. We see Arab middle class is expanding, and they are now even immigrating, moving to Jewish cities. You know, Arabs living not only now in bigger numbers, not only in the mixed cities, but in the Jewish cities. Yes, this is part of the situation. But compare it with what's going on in Lod, for example, and you see the uneven development, the poverty, the gaps between Arabs and Jews. Arabs are making up 1/3 of the population of Lod, okay? And still they are not integrated. They actually, the mayor and the municipality is not doing anything to try to bring them to integration. And here's the problem, the uneven development, the poverty among Arab neighborhoods. This is why, major reason why Lod is the top list of the cities with the crime casualties, victims. So, and at the top of this, the whole policy in Israel, the hatred, the racism. Just last week, the Minister of Justice, Levine, just stated that, well, Arabs are moving to Jewish cities and Jews are fleeing those cities. Can you imagine a Minister of Justice in UK or United States saying, well, Jews are moving to New York or to London and the Christians are leaving or fleeing? It's a race. This is definitely it's anti-Semites for sure. So can we say the same to label the Minister of Injustice? Yes, it's a Minister of Injustice, not Minister of Justice, really, as anti-Semite person. So really, the whole picture in the country is really dark in terms of rights, in terms of equality. Israel is still without a law of equality, basic law of equality. This is why now Ben-Gvir and the Zionist Religious Party trying to promote actually the implementation of the nation state law to fill it with now to work. Article 7 of the nation state law is stating developing the country, state of Israel, for its Jewish people, not for the Israeli people, for the Jewish citizens. It's racism. It's obvious racism. Yes, I don't want to ignore the fact that Arabs are making better than 10 years ago, but there is economic reason for that. You know what? 50%, 50, half of the kids who are attending the first grade in Israeli schools are either Arab kids or ultra-Orthodox Haredi kids. Now, if I'm telling you that Arabs are making up 20% of the population, yet they are contributing only 10% of the Israeli GDP. If the Haredi Jews, who are making up 15% of the total population, and they're contributing less than 6% of the Israeli GDP. If those people not work enough 20 years down the road, I believe it's gonna hit the Israeli economy. This is why Netanyahu actually is trying to integrate Arabs and Haredic Jews in the economy, which is fine. It's a win-win situation. It's good for the state of Israel. It's good for the Arab citizens. And we are happy with that. But still, we see parallel to that, more racism within the state of Israel, more racism in the state of Israel. We look to the high schools. I am the co-executive director of the Abraham Initiatives. And we have a project to work with young people in the high schools and pre-academy armies. And we see how the switch in right-wing, extreme right-wing ideology, attitudes towards Arab, a lot of racism. So economy cannot flourish in Israel with racism. Economy cannot flourish with uneven development. Economy cannot really flourish with discrimination between Arabs and Jews.
So Dr. Thabit, now that you've really highlighted the problem, I guess my question is, what is the solution? How can we improve the situation? How can we reduce violence and ensure better integration of the Arab community? And
stop the violence right now, you know, because people are dying. This is incredible, unbelievable. It's a wave of terror. If something like this would happen in the Jewish sector right now with terrorist attacks, then of course it would be the talk of the news 24/7.
Actually, we need joint work with the three players. First of all, the government itself, the second player, the police, and the third player, the Arab community itself. Without building trust between the government and the Arab community, without building trust between the Arab community and the police, it's not gonna work. This is one thing. Listen, the plans are there. We have to implement the plans. Now, the fact that after last week, the prime minister did meet with the mayors, Arab mayors, with Arab MKs, and they are starting, we recommended to the prime minister office to actually to form an inter-ministerial committee, and he should lead that committee, because we need the first person in the country to lead the efforts of combating crime and violence. We are in a small country in terms of geography. The shoots in Jeljulia, they are hearing that in Kfar Saba. Yes, it's the shooting and killing started with us, but it's not going to stop with us. It's not going to end with us, okay? So the government is very important factor in trying to deal with the deep causes of the crime and violence, try to solve the problem of the young generation, of education, of employment within the Arab community, and financial services, and so forth. But besides that, we need the police. The police is not doing enough in our, actually, it's not doing nothing almost, not patrolling enough. I think the Israeli police is very weak nowadays, and don't have the tools to combat crime and violence right now, because a lot of efforts of the police are going to occupy territories to East Jerusalem and to now to protect the demonstrations all over the country. So we need more police forces with better technology, and we need a minister that really believes that we should combat crime and violence, not with this style. I think the prime minister should fire Minister Ben-Gvir. He's not the right person to do this work. We all the time compare it with the former minister, Omar Barlev, and his deputy, who start a good efforts. We saw positive and first steps last year. This is the second factor. Also, I think the police should work harder to prevent the leaking of arms and weapons, illegal weapons. The Israeli military should try to protect the military bases. I think there is a lot of smuggling of illegal weapons to the Arab community. And then I'm coming to my community. I believe that my community, the Arab community, can do a better job. I believe there is a withdrawal. There is a vacuum right now. Withdraw of political parties. We don't feel the activities among young people, or to make peace between families and to be more active in social. There is withdrawal from activity of the imams, the religious leaders. Also, there is a withdrawal of educators. So there is a vacuum that's filled right now by criminal organizations that really dictating almost everything. And I would like to just remind all of us, we are approaching 5 months from now, the local election, municipality elections. And I'm telling you, those families, organized crime families are competing over controlling some of those local governments and municipalities. And this is kind of devastating for the Arab community. If those people are right now, we witness in some Arab towns, those organized crimes dictating who is going to be the principals of school. So there we are actually approaching a moment of collapse within our community.
You know, just two things come to mind. First of all, it's the successful combat of the Israeli police with the wave of crime in Netanya. We all remember the jolly 90s and 2000s when Netanya was the hub of criminal activities, and then somehow it was resolved. It comes to mind that if in the past with perhaps lesser forces, the Israeli police was able to achieve success there, if it will be really determined, it will be able, and of course will work with the community in an open and true way, it will be able to achieve success also in the Arab society in Israel. Another thing that comes to mind is the year of 2000. I don't know if you agree with this assumption, but I heard it from many people before. They believe that this year was crucial in the decline of police activities in the Arab villages and cities in Israel after the tragic events of October 2000. There was kind of a decision of the police. We understand now, we don't need to be too involved. Let them do whatever they want. And, you know, we are withdrawing to the perimeters of the cities, but not the cities themselves. And therefore, you have this mess that is growing and brewing for now more than 23 years.
Tanya, I agree with you. Actually, the figures, the numbers are saying everything. Can you imagine that since 1980 to 2000, 83 people were victims of crime and violence. 83 people within 20 years. From 2000 until today, over 1,850 casualties. Well, this is saying a lot. Yes, you are right. The tipping point actually was the second intifada, you call it tragic event of 2000, October 2000. And yes, the police really left the Arab community and doesn't care. It's not patrolling anymore. They are coming to Arab towns when they would like to destroy houses, for example. They are coming with special campaigns that's it. But honestly, we saw improvement last year. Again, I don't want to hide that with the same police, with the same police forces under different leadership, okay? Again, you have Shagalovich and Omar Barlib. We saw a start, the same police, without what Ben-Gvir is trying to do now. He is he's asking for demanding national guards. Why we need national guards for that? They are demanding the interference of the Israeli Shabak, the Israeli intelligence. They are demanding. Well, look to the other last year, and we saw a lot of starting point that we saw less killing, less shooting under different leadership. So what we need really now, a true and a real decision, to take a decision, the right decision to act honest decision to combat crime and violence within the Arab community. And unfortunately, we don't see that. We don't see that from this government.
Yeah, unfortunately, as you say, we're not seeing any end in sight or any improvement anytime soon, unfortunately. But I want to take us and zoom out a little bit. You know, we here as ROPES, we are a regional organization, and we work on strengthening trilateral ties between Israeli young professionals, Palestinians, and people from the MENA region, from across the region. And when we look at our initiatives and we look at the Arab society, now that we have you here, we would love to hear a little bit from you, a little bit on the regional element. First of all, how did the Arab society perceive the Abraham Accords? What is the role that the Arab society has today in the regional integration, and what can it do in the future?
Well, actually, Arab citizens really would like to see peace between their country and their people, the Arabs. They would love to see that. They benefit the most from peace between Arab countries and their state, Israel. However, having said that, there is a problem. The problem that the conflict, continued conflict between their own people, the Palestinians, and their own state, Israel. Everything should pass through the solving the conflict, establishing a normal relation between Palestinians and actually Israelis, having a Palestinian independent and sovereign state. Yet, I have to say that we witnessed in the last 2-3 years, tens of thousands of Arabs really did visit United Arab Emirates and other areas to look for their culture, first of all, but also to look for economic opportunities there. And I know about people already making some businesses over there. However, we have a problem here. I'm very critical of what's going on in the MENA region. It's embarrassing me sometimes. I'd like to talk about myself. I look to the region in different glasses, not only through Israeli glasses. I am an Arab. I am a Muslim. It's embarrassing me that I have more rights in this racist country, Israel, more than the Arab people who are living in the Arab countries. Now,
I think particularly when we look at Palestinians who are refugees in certain countries as well.
Yes. But more than that, I believe that the fact that we are, I understand the Israelis, Jewish Israelis, the refugees, so celebrating the relations with the United Arab Emirates, and they are looking forward to see it with Saudi Arabia. But we are talking about dictatorship regimes. I would like to see people have freedom of speech in those countries, okay? To have more opportunities, to have a civic society, okay? And Israel should not always do, I understand the position, the geostrategical position of Israel trying to defend itself by building pacts with the Arab countries against Iran. However, I'm looking to the people, the Arab people also, not to the dictatorship regimes. And yet, I believe that politics is all about politics. Humans are more important. And I dream for a day that I can visit Arab countries to see peace between my people, Palestinians, and my country, Israel, and peace between Arab countries and Israel, too.
This is our common dream that we share, and we think that it can, of course, benefit with everyone here in this region to achieve the rights, equality, and achieve the coexistence, Daesh, yes, that we are all seeking in this world. Dr. Thabet, I would like to sincerely thank you. It was a fascinating talk. Thank you for participation in the Ropes Cast. And we do hope to host you in the future with more positive things to discuss. Now we have to focus on what is hurting, but I hope the time will come and we will be able also to, you know, discuss with you the aspects of the Arab language, the integration of the Arab society in Israel, and positive results in this regard.
Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye. I just want to remind that there are more interesting and fascinating episodes at of Ropecast, and you can find everything and of course subscribe at your favorite podcast platform wherever you are listening to it. And if you want to seek more information about our organizations, we advise you to go to the website ropes.org. And if you want to become a guest at our podcast one day, there is an email. Please write it down, info@ropes.org.
Thank you, shukran, ve toda rabba for all of you for listening to us today. And we hope to have you on our next episode here at the Ropes Cast. Stay tuned.